Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
In a world where there are more podcasts than grains of sand, a motley crew set themselves the challenge of a lifetime to find the most kick-ass things to do and do them. This is How to Kill an Hour. With Marcus Bronzi and a few guys who, well, they claim to be his friends.
You serious?
Hey, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzi.
I'm Sean.
How's it going, Sean, man?
Oi, I'm a bit wounded today, bro. I feel like you're the same.
We're on the back end of Christmas parties, bro. Yeah. Back end of Christmas parties. But before we even get into that, just before we press record, obviously the last episode, the name of it was Cold Rice. We had a massive conversation about Ricegate. When we went away,
the Ricegate scandal,
where one of our friends, let's just say, he didn't have the service that he wanted in a restaurant. With Rice, but we can't get into it because I feel like he might sense us talking about it and start smashing up stuff. But he said before we press record that you caught up with him.
Yeah, I just had to show him what the previous episode was called, and he was like, "You lot dickheads." It was still, bruv, the wound was still open, innit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Could he even take the joke? Like, could he even take the joke at the point? Could you see him like?
He laughed it off, but he was raging. There was no chill apart from the rice.
Yeah. Has he eaten rice at all this week?
Bro, do you know? Bruv, come on, man, give him some time. give him some time.
Oh man, one grain at a time. He's got to take it one grain at a time. Flip it out. He's going to be a pasta man for a while, isn't
it? Has to. He's pasta and potatoes.
Pasta and potatoes. Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel like now there's a joke to be had in just every time we go somewhere, asking the chef, like, look, I know this sounds weird, but can we just have some two portions of rice? Can we have some really cold rice that you bring up first?
Just to see. Put it in the freezer for a little bit. Frosty when it comes out.
And it's really weird, but you know, if anyone suggests it's warmed up, suggest that we use the oven to do it, and it takes like over an hour.
An hour and a half. Yeah. Can you serve it to this specific gentleman?
Yeah.
Imagine that everyone else's rice comes out steaming. Yeah.
That's the sort of joke I'd crack. That's the sort of prank I'd play, isn't it?
Yeah, we should probably do that.
Yeah, man, that's heavy. But bro, I feel like we're both a little bit wounded, like.
A little bit, man.
Yeah. Mm. It's been yesterday, which was the, looks at date, 8th of December was like Christmas party, office party central for everyone in it. That's where most, I feel like last week was when most people had their Christmas social and their end of year social and stuff. How did yours pan out?
It was chill, man. Yeah, it was chill. Just went to this, kind of, I would say, like the local kind of bar/club.
Yeah,
it was a good vibe.
Nice. Was it like, did you do the thing where it's like your small team, or did you go company wide? Was it like, because everyone has their own little way of doing socials, isn't it?
No, it was our small company.
Okay.
And then next week is like the large company.
Oh, so this was the warm up?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Yeah. And which one would you say like is the one where you guys get a little bit looser? Was yesterday that one? Like, because I've done a couple this week, and I've driven to a Christmas party, had one or two and a half, and like chilled for a few hours and then driven home, because I was like, this is not the party where I want to be like letting my hair down.
Right, okay.
Romania style. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'll probably, I think we've got one next week. I think it's the one next week, probably.
That's the big one, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And what is that going to be like? Are you going to go to like an event space and stuff, or is it going to be like, do you think just like, I don't know.
I've RSVP'd, but I don't know. I didn't really read it, to be honest. I just...
So yeah, yesterday's one was really nice. It was like a meetup of like patron people and other content creators. Shout out to Gav Murphy from RKG. So he put it all together. And we went to East London, and we went to, I can't remember the name of the place, but we went, it was like a boat.
So it was like a boat.
It was a boat that the owner, I was going to say sailed over from, where did he sail it over from? Somewhere in Europe. It wasn't France, but he sailed it all the way to the UK.
And we just docked somewhere.
And docked it up and have converted it into a restaurant.
Nice.
So yeah, we went in there. We had like a table upstairs, like a setting for like 20 people. And we had a lovely three course meal. I had the pate for a starter. I had beef cheek instead of ribs, because the ribs, there was an error. But listen, I'll take a beef cheek. And I had cheese for dessert as well. It was very nice. But Sean, the problem, and when I say problem, I am totally responsible for this, is that it started at midday on a Friday.
It started at midday?
Midday.
Are you not in?
So we did it. We did it daytime style.
That's an industry Christmas party.
Yeah, you know it, bro. We did it daytime. And it was fantastic, but we got on the... beers were quite nice on that boat as well. I don't know what they were, but I had the lager. I went for the lager. Had a few of those. And at 4 o'clock... we were all quite well behaved, but we stayed warm. Then we went around the corner to a pub, and I think I left the pub at 12. Oof. So it's 12 hours of just like Guinness and beer and great conversation. But I didn't realize how I wasn't twisted. Like, I remember everything yesterday, apart from the snooze on the cab on the way home. But I was like, nice. This morning I woke up, I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Got up for a few
minutes.
Then
you got up.
Yeah, and you're like, no, you're not all right. But he's like, no, you're not all right. But it was really nice, man. I feel like I feel a bit Christmassy now. I feel like but between our last trip, which was last weekend, the time we record this, weekend we were gone, time recording, and now.
Christmassified a bit.
I feel like I'm a bit Christmassified. I felt Christmassy when I saw the tree in the hotel. It was a really nice tree.
It was like some 70 foot tall tree.
It was massive. It was enormous. Do you feel Christmassy yet? Or do you get Christmassy?
Usually around the 24th of December is usually when I...
Yeah.
I don't allow it, it just infiltrates.
It infiltrates.
And then I'm like, I'll just find myself humming along to something. And then it's happened.
Yeah. That's heavy, man. For me, it's the smells as well. When I smell like Christmassy food as well, when I'm smelling the mulled spices.
The mulled wine. I do like a mulled wine.
You like a mulled wine?
I do like a mulled wine.
Okay, all right. Nice. Well, I haven't got mulled wine for you, but
some subpar services, worse than cold rice, bro.
I've got gazpacho mulled wine. I realised, as one of our last things that we had to eat when we left for Raider, actually, I made sure I had the gazpacho soup, you know.
Just the wrong.
This is a nice, refreshing gazpacho soup, Adam. fuck it, cat's out of the bag. So it's time to move on to the next part of the show, which is our killer bit, where we talk about how we have been killing some time with some bits of tech and stuff. And this week, it's part two of Marcus's Christmas list, because I definitely didn't forget to put stuff on last week and we're catching up. I didn't even ask you, Sean, how have you been killing a bit of time this week before we do that?
Nothing exciting this week, bro. Nothing exciting. I have been killing time by doing my business accounts.
Why?
Fun times, bro.
Excitement. Palpable.
Stay in your seat, bro.
I mean, why is people like, that's why I'm honestly, I have mad respect for lawyers, accountants, and people that work in finance, because it's some of the driest, necessary, but driest paperwork that needs to be done ever. The levels of complexity are way beyond my comprehension on a good day. Yeah. So imagine that's your job. Like, we do bits monthly, quarterly, end of the year, and we're all like, oh my God, I'll just do more taxes. Yeah. And these guys, it's like every day. Like every
numbers,
day.
Just numbers, bro.
It's a numbers game, baby. Numbers game. All right. So that's how you've been killing some time.
Yeah. What about you, bro?
I've been killing some time with something that we mentioned briefly on the show before, I think. And it's good that we mentioned it briefly and we've given it time to try, because I've tried it with a few people and it's had some good reviews and some interesting conversation about drinking. And also, Sean, it may take the edge off yesterday's party for me or you.
Hair of the dogs.
Hair of the dogs. So yeah, you have a bottle in your hand. If you don't mind handing it over, because I'm going to do a little bit of chatting while the camera's on me, I'll hold it up. Oof. This is called Hocus Drinks, right? There's two parts of this. There's a smaller bottle as well. There we go. Hocus Drinks. So Hocus Drinks is potentially the future of how we may consume beverages.
Are you saying that it's a potential game changer?
It's a potential game changer. Potential bar changer. Something people will be looking at. So yeah, Hocus Drinks. A little bit of a Harry Potter flex. There you go. I've put the bottle up to the camera. If you can see it.
It does, it does.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So that's a Hocus Drinks bottle. So that is a base alcohol, right? And it's a neutral spirit base made from distilled mixed grains. Yeah? So let's say like, I'd call it...
Is it like a vodka?
I'd say it's like a vodka, but if you could, mate, have a smell of it. It's vodka-y, but it's kind of like...
It's
not a good idea. Oh yeah, so it smells like vodka, but like... Vodka's right, and this is a side thing as well, Sean. Now, I don't know if I told you, but I'm partial to a vodka, so I like a vodka. I've actually got into, when I say drinking it, I can tell the difference between like a corn-based vodka and a, you know, a conventional rye vodka, or like a potato vodka, whatever.
Your vodka so, sommelier.
Yeah, well, I've just said that, and I'm like, yeah, I can taste the difference between that like, a vodka and
that, that smells a bit like vodka, yeah. But it doesn't have not sharpness, but... You can't really smell like the alcohol.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the flavor's still there, but you don't have that hit.
And this is where things get interesting, because this other bottle that I'm holding up to the camera, if you can see it's on YouTube, here you go. So that is their dual function dispenser. So what this has is, right, the guys at Hocus, they've actually taken a gin called Shoe Valley London Gin. And they've extracted all the flavor from the gin. So in this small bottle that I have in my hand has got all the flavor of gin. And in the bottle over there, we have alcohol. Now, with these guys at Hocus Drinks, what they can do is, they've done this with lots of different types of drinks. So you can have like a bourbon dispenser. You can have like a whiskey dispenser.
Well, so you can you can just literally have like three of those bottles.
Yeah.
Let's say you had like a load of people.
Yeah.
And then you could just have a ton of different sprays and depending on what spray you use.
Yeah. No, you just need one. So their tagline is like,
no, I don't know what I was thinking about.
Because like, you thought it was us lot all getting mashed up. So he's like, one isn't enough.
No, I thought it was me and you. So I said three.
It's Christmas, isn't it? So yeah. So basically, like, I don't know how they'll feel about me saying it. This is like almost like a squash.
What, bruv? I literally was thinking that. Ribena came to my head because I was like, it's concentrating it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there's two applications for this, right?
Is it a spray?
Oh, it's like a spray. It's like a dual dispenser. So there's two applications for this, Sean. You can obviously... So how it works is we have all the stuff. In fact, if you want, you can go through this as I talk to you about this. Or I can do it as I serve you a beverage, Sean.
No, bro. If you're going to be talking, I can do the serving.
So what you want to do is, right, we've got a large glass with some ice in it. Because I have done this before on social. And people are like, where's your ice, bruv? I didn't have ice that day, all right? So what Sean's doing, we'll make sure we put the camera on Sean... you might have to hold it up to the camera when you're doing this, but don't worry, podcast people, we'll describe this. So Sean is getting a glass or two. Oh God, one of them's got a water stain on it. I love that one. Pop in some ice cubes in there. And I'll tell you what it says on the back of the glass. So it says, on the back of the small bottle, it says, you can have two options to make this, a full alcohol or a low alcohol. All right. So what you do is you take a glass with ice, which we've done. And then if you want a low alcohol beverage, because we're adding the alcohol later, you can have three sprays of the dispenser and then you add 200 mils of mixer. Or if you want a full alcohol, you add two sprays, so slightly less of the squash, and then you add your...
The ratio between changes the two
a little changes. Bit. But bruv, like with squash, I think you can do it how you want to do it, really. So do you want to take, we could do no alcohol first and then put a little bit of the Hocus in and then go from there if you want. Or if you want, I can get you a second glass and we could do a real A-B test. I don't know how excited you're feeling, Sean. Should we properly A-B? All right, hold tight.
Yeah.
I'll let you do some talking for a second.
Let me have a quick. I'm still trying to figure out how this actually works. So this little bottle is... this little spray is like 40% volume, which is the same as what a gin would normally be.
That bottle...
Is there no alcohol in this?
It's like 0.5. No, you have to be really careful. I think it's like... I know because some people don't drink anything, so it's point... There is...
It says 40% here, though.
Full 40%. So when you mix it with the ratios that they said, you'll get 40%.
Okay.
So that is... If we use it without... any of the base alcohol, it's 0.5 ABV.
Because it says we take authentic craft gin, remove most of the alcohol and water so you can enjoy a genuine, natural, low alcohol alternative or a full alcohol spirit option. Yo.
So how
so, what, so what? They've got what? Whiskey ones?
Whiskey.
And brandy
at
ones
the moment, they've got whiskey ones. Got the whiskey drink. They got brandy drink. They got the sand drink. Tub thumping. So Sean, I did speak to one of the guys. They said, first things first, we need to prime it with a couple of sprays. But I'm like, yo, bro, point it at the glass, innit? If it goes in, it goes in.
What is in a little?
Yeah, a couple of. Yeah. So they have different flavors. I'll get into the flavors in a bit. My bad, Sean. But
it's all good. What am I doing? Three sprays.
Should we do three sprays? Let's break the rules a little bit. Let's have three sprays. No. Oh, wait, we've got two different ones. So we're going to go non-alcoholic.
So this is three sprays, and those are two sprays.
Let's do that then. Right. So three sprays is for the non-alcoholic. Is it primed? You just sprayed it across the studio. It's going to smell like gin. You just fired it at me. Rah, duck down. All right, so it's primed now, isn't it? So one, two. Yeah, there you go. And then a couple in there. So that's
is it? No, it's three.
Three, yeah, cool. That's going to be the non-alcoholic. And then a couple of sprays in here. And then I've got, for our mixer, there you go, Sean, you pop a little bit in. Don't know how much to say. You can use it comes with a little cap. I mean, that looks like a measuring there, isn't it?
That
is like,
definitely a little measuring.
Yeah. It's not. Oi. Listen, I'm not being funny. It's nice, isn't it? Do you want to show that to the cam? Go on, Sean.
This little guy here. Nice. Little measuring, I'm pretty sure that is... Well, it's getting used for shots.
Yeah, it's getting used for a healthy measure.
So what am I putting in here? You said 200 mil or something like that.
Well, 200 mil is the mixer, but I believe it's like a measure of, say on the back of the bottle, add 25 mil of Hocus. That looks like a 50 mil. So I reckon if you do half of that.
Half of this, yeah?
Yeah, for each glass. So half splash, we're around it. And you know what? Why are we doing it by hand like this? Because listen, it's cool to not have an exact science all the time. If you're so for starters, no. So that's mixed up. Let's have a little.
Should I do these ones as well?
These don't need any booze in them. Those are done. These are alcohol free.
Oh.
Yeah. So then the next step is we have our mixer. Our mixer today, we've got Liquid Death. Hi, shout out to the guys at Liquid Death.
Oh, see, so if you're having the low alcohol one, you just put the spray and then you just put water.
Yeah. Or whatever your mixer is.
Or tonic.
Tonic. Yeah. We haven't got tonic because I drank all the tonic. They've got pink gin. They've got dark rum. They've got tequila. Vodka's interesting because I wonder how they had that flavour, and they got white rum as well. Yo. So you could have all of these and one bottle and you're nice. Do you get me? Let's put some alright, there you go. So I'll pour some into non-alcohol. This is just, I don't know what 200 ml is, Sean, but I'm just freestyling, bro. Come on.
So we've got in this one we will have gin and fizzy water.
Oh, so you're topping these ones up as well, yeah? Yeah, I mean, you can give it a sniff beforehand. Let me know if that smells ginny to you. I've already mixed it up.
Not going to lie, my nose isn't working too tough. It doesn't smell like gin, though. It
doesn't.
Oh, actually, no, a little bit.
A little bit. Because once I've put that, because the soda we've got, the sparkling water's got a little bit of a twist of a mango to it, which is cool. But
Try it? I'm not supposed to drink it like this.
Well, how you want, really, bro. Your drink, how you can just have a little sippy sip of it.
That's actually not. That's actually smoother than I expected. But do you want to try it like this?
Yeah, go on, a little sip of it. Is it? It has got the gin smell.
It's not as potent as gin usually is if you drink straight gin, which is not usually I do.
I'd probably put another spray in it, like if I was going to do it, like because I just like it. I want a bit more gin flavour. But that's not bad. That if you were to give that to me and say, what's that? I'd be like, that's a ginny drink, innit? That's the thing, innit? A ginny drink. Yeah, it's a gin.
You keeping on the Harry Potter theme? Is that what you're doing?
Jeez. Expelliarmus. Okay, so you've done it straight with a bit of ice on the rocks with no ice
on the rocks, no ice.
Yeah, and then this is the I'm tasting the non-alcoholic version first. Maybe I should have used an unflavored water, but we have what we have. But it's all right. It's okay. One second. Let me have another. Can I have a pass? I'm gonna put another spray in, man.
I can taste the mango.
Yeah. Mango stepping in. Let's go. I put another spray in. Let's go. Tastes like a non-alcoholic gin and tonic, which is gin and tonic, but it's missing something. You know what it's missing? The booze. I think that's okay. If you're doing dry Jan, maybe that's for you. I'll reapproach that in dry Jan. It's okay, but I want to go for the alcohol one, bruv. Sláinte.
This doesn't taste like alcoholic.
Yeah, maybe I went a bit heavy with the water, but.
Are you saying that we're going to have to do this taste test again?
I'm saying maybe I put a splash more of the base in, and I think personally.
And I think we'll, for the gin, we're probably going to have to get some tonic.
Yeah. But would I. Mm. Look, what they wanted to do is they wanted to give us a gin flavour. If someone gave this to me, I'd be like, nice, can I have a double? But I'd be like, nice, I think they've achieved it, bro. I don't know about you, but this is editorial. We're not being paid for this. I'm putting another spray in, man. Put a couple of sprays in. Let's put a bit more of this in here. One second.
Why not?
Let's cook. All right. Giving it a bit more of a splash. God, before the podcast, we were like, yeah, man, definitely not drinking today.
Yeah.
Now that I've made it, look, I think I put too much water in. That's a gin and tonic. Maybe I went up. Do you want to try that? I've basically doubled the amount. So I think I put a bit of water in.
Oh.
Getting that now, yeah? Mm. All right, okay. Maybe I shouldn't have free-handed it, but that's a gin and tonic, bro.
No, that tastes like, oh, we didn't use tonic, innit?
Yeah, sorry, a gin and sparkling water.
That tastes like a gin and sparkling water. Okay, so I went a little bit lightweight with the measure of the actual alcohol.
First time for everything, I guess.
I know.
But you're right. Like I've seen you lock eyes with me as you continue to pour a drink, and I'm like, you're like, say when. I'm like, when? You're like, oh, sorry, bruv, you needed to say it in Spanish. I'm like, I don't know how to say when in Spanish. Like, oh, well, your drink's poured now. Well done, enjoy yourself. So they've got a rum dispenser, got a pink gin dispenser, they've got a bourbon one as well. If I'm honest, Sean, I'm going to hit them up. I think we should do an ultimate taste test of all of them at some point.
Yeah, man, I definitely get a tequila one, innit?
Yeah? You're a fan of the mezcal tequila vibes?
I just love a Tommy's margarita, innit?
Bro, if we have the ingredients, we can make a Tommy's margarita and go from there.
That sounds like a good plan.
Because it doesn't just... Remember, like, with this stuff kind of tech, it doesn't stop at, like, we're just having a gin and sparkling water or a gin and tonic or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's once you get the base alcohol there, you do what you want with it.
Yeah.
So you could make non-alcoholic Tommy's and you can make alcoholic Tommy's at the same time without as much work. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise you're farting around with cocktails all the time. You know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? Like making a cocktail.
It's literally
stress.
Mad. You could have like one big ass bottle and then have all these little sprays in it and be like,
yeah, man.
Fill your boots.
A 5 liter base thing there and then just like all the little bottles.
Like, you know, like the ones where the big water bottles they turn upside down.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So yeah, there you go. That's Hocus Drinks. Like it's just a fun little like idea.
It's novelty as well, isn't it? It's something quite different.
I think it's a cool Christmas gift.
Oh, for sure. Like you would have a lot of and you would have a lot of fun showing people.
Yeah, man.
Be like, oh, come on, yeah, I like it.
It's kind of like you'd have it's a bit of like a show thing.
Yeah, it's fun
and then I think like people like us and the Hocus probably wouldn't recommend it. Someone would be like, oh, what if I put a spray of this and a spray of that in or whatever? Do you know what I mean? It opens up the possibilities. So I know you're gonna ask me about price, Sean. So the Hocus bottle, £30 for the base. And for each of the mixers, it's £30 as well. £29.99.
What are you thinking? How many drinks do you think you would get out of one of these, this spray bottle here.
It says on the back, actually, it lets you know there's got a recommendation. Flipping, I've had one sip of juice.
What does it say?
And also, while you're finding that, actually, you can get a refill pouch where you can refill your base spirit bottle, which is probably a bit better for the environment. And you get, you can just pour that back into the bottle. So they could send you just a few pouches of the booze.
And how much is that?
$27.99, so a little bit cheaper because obviously like less packaging and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's a little bit better for the environment.
Indeed. Right, where am I not seeing this one?
And you say space in your drinks cabinet. Go on, chuck it over.
I still can't zip.
it's on the instructions.
Is it?
So you see where there's the low alcohol and the thing alcohol? Yeah. It should let you know.
It's a spray tube pump at 25 mil. But it doesn't say how many the bottle.
Go on, pass it over. All right. There we go. 1 second. Where is it? Did it say it on the box?
Oh, it's on the box. This is it. Send me something.
No. It says it. Look, on the front.
On the front. Man was saying it was in the instructions.
Mixer low. It serves with mixer 40. All right. So when you're doing the non-alcoholic ones, because you use a little bit more, there's 40 portions in here. If you're making it with alcohol, where you need less spray, 60.
So, really and truly, for what you would class as a normal bottle of, let's say in this case, you would think gin.
Yep.
You wouldn't usually get 40 drinks out of a bottle of gin. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah.
So
it's a little bit of a premium, I'd say. It's not like,
but yeah, but only a little bit prices. Though.
Yeah. But a fun little way to do it, man. I don't know.
I like it.
It's a bit of like a thing, isn't it? Like
yeah.
If you've got a family member who likes. You know, if you've got someone who's got everything, this is the kind of thing you get them for a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean?
And also, if you got this as a gift on Christmas, it's one of those things you can just like bust out straight away and like give it a go in it and be like, oh, let's give it a try in it.
Yeah, there's a mate of ours whose dad likes to make cocktails. If you don't know who he is, I'll tell you off air, but that is the kind of thing you give him. Like, he'd be like, all right, I have everything for cocktails, but here's a little bit of something quirky. He'd be like, oh yeah, all right, cool, I'll give it a go. So magical. Hocus, thank you very much. So there you go. How's I been killing time? Sean, in this box over here. This is going to be a quick intro because I haven't actually got this out to play with it. I took it out at one Christmas party because I just picked it up. But this, which I'm showing you.
Did you get out at the Christmas party?
I got it all out. Oh, that's. I got two things. They sent me a drone, DJI, but they also sent us the Osmo Pocket 3. And I'm going to take this out over the next few weeks.
What is it? It's
a handheld gimbal camera.
Oh.
So this tiny little thing.
A gimbal or a gimbal? Oh, it's actually a camera.
Gimbal on the camera. So it's a camera with a gimbal. So,
yeah, that looks sick.
We've always been in a situation when it comes to creating content, which is phones are great, but you don't want to use your phone when you're making content sometimes because your phone gets rinsed, the battery gets rinsed, and also it's nice to have a device that is specifically good for creating it. However, I feel like you struggle to have a handheld device that's had a decent camera on it. This, long story short, I mean, for my camera guys, 1-inch sensor, but for everyone else, it's got a good sensor on it, which means it works decently, allegedly in low light and good light, and it's just got this cool little camera.
Bro, is that DJI?
Yep, DJI, Osmo Pocket 3. They used to call it the DJI, I think they used to call it the Mini. But
the same brand that makes the Maverick Pro drones, isn't it?
Yeah, the Maverick Pro drones, I make all
Maverick
of that.
Even, yeah.
Yeah, and so basically they've got gimbals on the drone, so they've slapped one of their drone gimbals onto it, and then it works. This shoots 4K, slow-mo as well, 60 frames a second, maybe 120. I'll find out. I'll make sure I put it in the show description or on the Hans Canal website. And it also shoots vertical now as well, because obviously people shoot film vertical. Now, I haven't got footage now because I've literally just got this. It's the first time I'm in the studio with you with it. But it's got a nice little touchscreen. Oh, yeah, you can do 4K at 60. 1 second, let's have a look here. 4K at 60 frames a second, which is slow-mo, half speed, basically.
So you can manually move the camera around, or you can have it on full gimbal mode where you can just move it and it will stay.
Yeah. So you can move it around. I'm moving it left or right, up or down. And you can also, it also has face tracking and a little bit of zoom on it as well. And I believe it may, because I haven't even unboxed everything, it may have a wide angle lens on it as well, which is magnetic. Go on, let's have a little look at this.
Was that thing for the microphone in there?
Yeah, for real, bro. That's the next thing. It connects to a mic. So you put, there's a little thing I can pop on the bottom.
Oh,
turn
nice.
That on. I think I'm doing this right. I'm literally just doing this as we roll. I think that's on. And there's a microphone that you get. When you turn that microphone on, clips onto you, it pairs automatically. So there's no messing around. So like for this is like, I think it's like a vlogger kind of thing. And this is the pack they've given us is the Osmo Pocket Creator Combo. So in the box, it's got like a protective cover so I can work with it, a proper case, the mic transmitter, a handle. I think this is just an extra bit of handle so you can hold it, a battery handle as well, which has more battery on it.
Nice.
Carry bag.
It looks slick though.
It is a wide angle lens, a wrist strap. I need that. Yeah, so this is the first time I'm talking about it. I'm going to shoot some stuff over Christmas. I'm going to shoot some vloggy stuff for fun. I've got a trip coming up as well. And I might, if I can get savvy with it over the next couple of days, I might charge it all up, take it on the trip and shoot a whole vlog using it.
A full review.
And I think that's a fairer review than I could do the unboxing and stuff like that. But I guess you, with stuff like this, you kind of just want to see it at work.
Well, at the end of the day, if the content you're creating is not good enough with it, then it doesn't serve its purpose in it. So really it's about the end product, isn't it?
Exactly. And there you go. You can see it tracking my face.
Yeah
I'm moving it and it's tracking my face. Like, so it's really good. So I whipped it out at the Christmas party for my management, UTC. So shout out to Chike. He got his hands on it. And he shot some stuff. So I'll get that footage off him. I'll shoot some stuff. And you can kind of just see what we get with it. It doesn't come with a micro SD card. That's the only extra thing I think you need to get. And then once you get one of those, you're cooking. I'll find out what kind of card you need as well. Because with cards, Sean, like, because we're shooting 4K stuff, you need a card that can capture the quality of the footage. There's one small gripe people have been talking about online. It's when it shoots vertical, it only shoots 3K. But I'm hard pressed to find somebody who's got a keen enough eye to look at something on their phone and go, that's only...
Brother, when it comes from like 720 to 1080, you can very much tell. When 1080 to 2K, you can tell.
Yeah.
2K to 4K, I find it very difficult. I mean, unless you have a massive screen.
A big TV, Sean. Yeah. Like, because I was always very skeptical about these because I thought like it was a bit of like, here's a driving force to sell more TVs or sell more cameras. I can only tell the difference on big screen stuff. Like you said, 1080 to 4K, 2K as well, difference.
Yeah.
8K and stuff like that on a big screen, it's amazing. But on my phone,
no. I mean, bruv, 4K to 8K, I feel like you're only going to be able to see the difference if you have like a 95-inch monitor where the pixels are just slightly less dense, so you have to get bigger and bigger.
And to have that in my pocket is just going to weigh my trousers down. But yeah, man, so I'm going to have a go of it, Sean. Like, maybe when we catch up over Christmas, because we're all planning to catch up as guys, I'll like shoot some stuff of us just like playing some poker or something like that and just vlog some stuff and see how it is. Like, I think with my content creation, like, vlogging stuff is where this is. I think this is where it's meant to be. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to whip this out in a room full of like high end action cameras and be like, yeah, this is what I'm shooting while you're doing this. But going out and about, I mean, the little packet that it comes in, look at that. That is like what?
Isn't it? Like, everything looks like nice and.
Yeah. Well, that used to be the thing with these things. They're great, but they never used to come with proper like carry cases, or they'd always be lacking. But this case feels like it's got space for everything. It's got space for the extra battery pack. It's got space for everything else. I'm going to charge it all up, get a card in it. I'll crack on. I'll let you know how I get on with it, Sean.
Nice.
You get me? And I think that's it for our products of the week. So now it's time for our jokes of the week. And it's Christmas, bruv. That's the end of... Oh, yeah, that was Marcus's Christmas list. There you go. With Sean as well. Sean and Marcus's Christmas list. I got some jokes, man. You have some jokes as well. We've Christmas-themed them. I've got a couple of longer ones, Sean, and a couple of short ones. Yeah, for you. I don't know if I already said this to you, but I also found a silly little one. We don't have to do a clip with this, but I don't always whoop, but when I do, there it is. I've already said that to you.
Yeah, it did that. Yeah,
sorry. I swear it again. I was like, no, I need to say it again. I think I deleted that from my memory because of your reaction to that. It got me very high. Hooping, hollering and hooping. But do you want to go first, bruv? Like, do you want to hit us with a couple of Christmas ones while I sip on this Hocus?
Go on then.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One day I was walking across a bridge when I saw a man about to jump off. I immediately shouted to him, "Stop, don't do it." "Why not?" he said. I said, "Well, there's so much to live for." "Like what?" "Well, are you religious or not?" "I am." "Well, me too. Are you Christian or Jewish?" "I'm Christian." "Oh, me too." "Are you Catholic or Protestant?" "I'm Protestant." "Oh, me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?" "I'm Baptist." "Wow, me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?" "I'm Baptist Church of God." "Oh, me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God? Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God?" "Reformed Baptist Church of God." He's like, "Oh, me too." "Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915? "Oh, I'm Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. "Die, heretic scum." Push him off the bridge. But when I was reading that one, that's not where I was expecting it to go. So it tickled me.
That was fantastic. I love that, man. Oh, that's wicked. Do you want to do another one? Shall I do one?
No, go for it. Cool. It's a bit of a long one, but we'll try and get through it. The postman is making his usual rounds of the week of Christmas. He walks up to the front door of a house to leave a package and the door opens just as he walks up. A beautiful woman opens the door and invites him in for lunch. "This is for everything you do all year long," she says to him. It's about his time for a lunch break. So he says, "Oh, you know what? I will take the lunch." The woman has laid out a wonderful meal and she sits with him, asking him about his day as he eats it. As he's standing up to pick up the mailbag, she says, "Wait a minute, please come upstairs." She leads him upstairs and his jaw drops as she does a little striptease. You know, he's too shocked to say anything and the woman is too beautiful for him to turn her down. She leads him to the bed and they have an amazing Christmassy time. Afterwards, the mailman stumbles down the stairs in a daze, barely able to work and late for his route. Just as he's closing the front door, the woman runs down the stairs and says, "Wait, I almost forgot." She hands him a dollar and closes the door behind him. The mailman stands on the porch for a minute, really confused, and finally he just can't stand it anymore, so he turns around, knocks on the door, and a woman answers with a bright smile and says, "Yes?" He says, "Ma'am, I appreciate everything you've done. Everything was amazing. But I have to ask, what was the dollar for?" She says, "Well, my husband and I were talking about what gift to give everyone, and I said, what about the mailman? And said, I think, should we give him lunch?" He said, "Fuck him. Give him a dollar." I was trying to figure out where that one was going.
I might have mashed that up a little bit, but okay. There you go. There you go. I like them ones.
That was a good one. All right. A first grade teacher tells her class that she's American and asks them to raise their hands if they are American.
Okay.
All of their hands explode into the air like flashy fireworks, except one girl named Kristen. This is not Christmas themed at all.
Okay.
The teacher asks her why she decided to be different. "Because I'm not an American," the girl responds. Then asks her teacher, "What are you?" "I'm a proud Canadian," boasts the little girl. The teacher is a little annoyed now, her face slightly red. She asks Kristen why she is a Canadian. well, my mum and dad are Canadian, so I'm a Canadian too. The teacher's angry now. Don't know why. There's no reason. What if your mum was a moron and your dad was a moron? What would you be then? Well, Kristen said, I'd be an American.
Big up, Kristen.
Big up, Kristen. Oh,
Kristen.
Sorry, Americans. Don't tickle me.
No. Listen, it's a funny joke. It's a good joke. All right. I got a Christmassy one for you then, Sean. Two convicts have been placed in cells opposite each other on death row. Convict one says, what got you sent here? Convict two says, I held up a conference door and I shot the clerk when he tried to pull a gun on me. You? Convict one says, well, last Christmas, my wife was working a double and all our kids were being little shits, yelling, cussing and breaking stuff. I couldn't take it, so I called my mum-in-law for advice. She told me to go out to the garage, get a bunch of empty boxes, wrap them up with pretty bows on top and set them under the tree. And whenever a kid misbehaved, grab one and throw it into the furnace. So I did. Convict two says, what's that got to do with you being sent here? Convict one says, I run out of kids.
I love the convict voice as well.
I don't know why.
What are you in here for?
I don't know why. I had to go. I don't know why. Listen, it's a gift that keeps giving.
No pun intended. Man. I like it. Yeah, right, that was a good one.
Nice.
Let's see what I got here. All right. A new monk starts living at the main monk headquarters. I'm pretty sure that's not the legit name, but we're going to.
Monk HQ.
A new monk starts living at the main monk headquarters. He's in charge of the copying of the holy texts. He notices that all of the monks are copying copies of their sacred text. He goes to the head monk. If there's an error in one of these copies, all of the subsequent copies will have the same error. The head monk replies, we've been doing it this way for centuries, but I understand your concern. So he heads back to the cellar to check all of the main copies against the original texts. Hours later, no one has seen him, and they begin to get worried. They send a monk to the cellar to check on him. He finds him sitting and weeping next to the main text. He asks the head monk, what's wrong? What did you find? The head monk looks at him and said, it says celebrate.
Oh, that is class, man. Oh, I love that one. I got a couple short ones. Have you got shorty? Are you done for the day?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Why doesn't Santa have any kids of his own?
No, go on.
He only comes down the chimney. Oh, that's how that smells.
Now I've just got an image of Santa up the chimney like that, lying
planking on a chimney.
Ho ho ho. Oh, that's awful.
All right, cool. On the first Christmas morning, three wise men walk into the manger. The first one steps in donkey shit, looks at his shoe and exclaims, Jesus Christ! Mary looks up to Joseph and says, that's a better name than Keith.
Keith.
I don't know why Keith of all names. Like, when I read it, I was like, Keith, you know what? I'll take that. So there you go, bro. That's my jokes for the week, Sean. I've actually got some other jokes, but they're so like not Christmas that we can save them for another time, man.
Are you sure you don't wanna just one?
All right, there's one. All right. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi went to see who's best at his job. So they each go into the woods, find a bear, and attempt to convert it. Later, they get together. The priest begins by saying, when I found the bear, I read him some holy text from the catechism. When I found the bear, I read him some holy text from the catechism and sprinkled him with holy water. Next week is his first communion. Oh, okay. I found the bear by the stream, says the minister, and I preached God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him. Both of them look down at the rabbi, who is lying on a gurney with his body barely alive. Clearly, he had an altercation with the bear. He whispers painfully, maybe I shouldn't have started with the circumcision.
I mean, some Christmassy. There's a Christmas element. There's a priest
adjacent,
in there.
There's Christmas. Yeah. There's religion in there, isn't it? Yeah. So there you go, bruv. That's the jokes of the week. Oh, man. I thought that one would tickle you. I feel like I'm trying to find you ones that, like, I'm finding ones that are vibey in that way, man.
Well, yeah. You know me, man. I like this really ones that don't make any sense and are really dumb.
Yeah.
That's my baseline.
Yeah. But the punchline just comes out of nowhere, like RKO's you, bro. Yeah. That's the one, man. Now it's time for our next part of the show, which is our story. Oh, go on, I'll let you take it, Sean.
Stories of the week.
There we go,
okay,
man.
Okay.
I'm quite light on the ground this week, Sean. I've got something I can throw at you quickly.
Go for it.
Quick update on our mushroom murderer.
Oh, please.
That was Erin Patterson, the Australian lady, I believe, who she will remain behind bars facing court charges of 3 counts of murder and 5 of attempted murder over a poisoned mushroom meal.
It was a beef.
Was it a Wellington?
Wellington. I think it was a beef Wellington.
I thought about that afterwards. The preparation that goes into a beef Wellington. It also makes her sound more guilty. Do you know what I mean? If she sprinkled some mushrooms over the top of a steak, it feels more casual, doesn't it? But a beef Wellington,
casual.
Pastry.
Premeditated.
Yeah, that is premeditated. Fucking yeah, man. And I think maybe she did it with a beef Wellington because she could eat one side of it, innit? That the less mushroomy side.
Now she's thinking, mate.
Yeah, man. So she has been charged with trying to kill her ex-husband at least 3 times in the years before she allegedly fed his family a bunch of deadly mushrooms.
I can't remember the story exactly, but were they aware that she had tried to kill her husband previously before this scenario?
This is what I need to find out the details, because she was. Oh my god, the court documents have been released. I'm literally reading this hot off the press. She also accused the attempted murderer of her ex-husband Simon. Oh shit, she's also accused of the attempted murder of her ex-husband Simon on at least 4 occasions dating back to 2021, the court documents have revealed. That's all the information I have. That's a lie. I have some more. The first attempt was between the 16th and 17th of November 2021. Then she's accused of her ex-husband's attempted murder in 2022 between the 25th and the 27th of May. And then on the 6th of September.
But it didn't give us details. How did she try? How did she try and fail on all these occasions? What was she?
Why is my mind going to like Acme stuff, like a piano above his head?
Anvil. Boy, one of the steamrollers.
Really slow steamroller, isn't it? Yeah. Give them a birthday cake with candles in it, but they're actually dynamite.
Man. This is a really annoying thing, right? They've given us dates.
Yes.
Which are like, I don't really care about the dates. I want to know the juice.
You want to know the juice, innit? All right, cool. So if it's November, right? Fireworks.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
Fireworks in the cake.
Fireworks in the cake. There we go. Yeah. 25th and 27th of May. What's going on there? May.
Oh, it's early April Fools.
Hey, early April Fools. There you go. So I've got a great April Fools. Look, there's April Fools in this box. Open it. Yeah, I don't know.
Or the anvil or piano is also cool.
Yes, anvil piano time, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what
probably.
It is. Yeah.
Or driving towards a tunnel that's actually just painted onto...
Yes, let's go on a road trip. Race. Let's go on a road trip and it's just a wall with a tunnel in it. 6th of September. What are we thinking then? It's autumn. It's autumn then, it's getting dark. What's an autumnal?
How would I try and kill someone in September?
So I'm trying to think in September. I don't know.
Do you know what it might be?
Yeah.
It might be the one back in school where there was like missing pavement slabs and then the water just filled up and the leaves were covering it.
The prank that we played. On people where there was they had like the manhole cover so open bad. And it was full of water, like you said, and because there were so many leaves, we just put leaves all over it and we sat there for like an hour after school watching people. Lots of year sevens dropping in. But remember, it was like if it was someone that would look like they were a bit older than us that could mash us up, we're like, careful.
And the person who rode their bike in. Oh, weird red.
So it's that. That's what she would have done.
Weird red guys. Oh.
Then the next one was 29th of July, a lunch. And this is the one before the dinner that they did. So this is a prerequisite lunch. So it wasn't the beef Wellington. Do you think it was maybe a more simple plan? What would she have done for lunch? Let's try and think. A summer lunch. Barbecue?
Midsummer
maybe.
Murders.
Barbecue.
How would you do it?
Maybe she rigged the barbecue. Like gas next to the barbecue. Yeah, you like the barbecue, babe. You get me? But instead, they just had like these seriously deliciously crispy steaks because there was a small explosion instead of a large one, and it sealed the steaks deliciously.
Fire lighters, mm-hmm. They're like little bits of C4.
Oh, that's what it would have been. But instead, instead, I reckon it was just like...
Man got the charcoal in the bag, and he was like, we don't need these firelighters, isn't it? Don't worry.
Yeah, he did, innit? And he sat there, he's like, I'm going to do this like a real Neanderthal, yeah. I'm going to make this fire. She's like, no, use a firelighter. No, babe, it's going to ruin the flavour. I reckon it was probably one of the best barbecues ever. Everyone's banging on about how good it is, and she's sitting there fuming. You know, perfectly cooked steak.
Bro, how is it that... I'm just putting it out there. If you were with someone and they tried to kill you three times, where are you at?
I mean, I'm out after the first opportunity. Maybe he's thinking, oh God, all this funny stuff has happened, right? It's mad how like a piano, like it hasn't, until you add it all up, right? You don't realize all of these things.
He's there one night thinking, the piano and the anvil.
Yeah.
And then barbecue.
She really wanted to use the firelighters.
And then driving towards that tunnel that was painted on the rock face.
Yeah. And I pulled over to just check like the tires were good because, you know, it was a long tunnel ledge and I'd never seen that tunnel before.
So and also, there wasn't even a maximum speed. There was a minimum speed
of 100 miles an hour. So I remember I pulled over to check my GPS and it wasn't on the GPS. Wild. And it suddenly clicks. And then the fifth attempt was the Wellington. And that's what put him in hospital for 2 months, critically ill.
If you've stuck around for all the previous attempts, and you're aware of them, then I have less sympathy for you, even though it's still awful. But you know what I'm saying, though, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Victim blaming a little bit, Sean, but it's all right. So it's like, it's your fault, bruv.
Remove yourself from the scenario.
Get out.
Unless after Beef Wellington, then all the other times that she tried to kill him came to light.
That's
and then
when it clicked.
And it was like all in one crescendo.
Then and like, the light bulb moment was like, she's never cooked Beef Wellington before. Oh, my God, that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, man, I don't know, you know. Yeah, but anyway, like, so she's not getting bail. She's going to jail. I haven't got anything else that rhymes.
No pun intended.
She is a triple murderer because she did kill some of his relatives. So she needs to do the time. She's done the crime, needs to do time. And I hope that this man recovers fully and has relationships with people that do not try to kill him.
Ideally, man. You know what I mean? Ideally. Yeah, ideally. It's not a perfect world, but ideally, innit?
Yeah. I think
you don't want to sleep with one eye open all the time.
Yeah, man. You don't want you don't want to be like checking the mouthwash to check it's not like bleach in there. Do you know what I mean?
Every day you walk out of your house and you have to look up and
you're looking around the house. Where's that bookcase gone? Looks up. Do you know what I mean? Watch Home Alone next to your wife as she chuckles a little bit too strongly. She's like, oh, that's a great idea. What was that, love?
Why are you taking notes? Schematics up on the wall. Fucking up. You walk out of your bedroom and there's just like a whole bit of the floor missing, isn't
it?
Now you're looking up.
Yeah.
She knows this.
She's got you. Oh, man. Yeah. Any manhole cover that you see, any leaves you see. Yeah. Anyway, look. So there you go. That's the update of the mushroom murderer. She is now being caught. She is now not going to do that again. There you go.
Hazard to society, man. And especially her nearest and not so dearest.
Defo not working the kitchen.
Defo.
In jail. Defo not going to be allowed on kitchen duty. And now she's going to eat shit food for a few years, which I think is, I mean, three murders. You're doing 25, 35,
45. I feel like three murders should be life.
So life. Yeah, well, like real life.
And
life's 25, isn't it? But you think she'll get real life? Because if she gets three counts, that's 75 years.
Right? And also the fact that it was like premeditated because it was Beef Wellington.
She had practice. Premeditated.
Steak, 25 years. Beef Wellington, 75 years, right?
Yeah.
And also the fact that she obviously had tried multiple times before, which it means A, she's not very good at it, and B, she's trying to just kill loads of people out here, innit? So. I think prison is probably the correct place for this individual.
She wanted to get the inheritance and now she's not going to get anything. Beef Wellington, preparation time, by the way. 2 hours and 30 minutes for the Gordon Ramsay recipe, which doesn't have any mushrooms in it. In fact, does it even have mushroom? They do have chestnut mushrooms in them. Okay, cool.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah. I was going to say.
Not, what was it? Something cup.
Killers.
Death cup mushroom.
Death cap mushroom. That's it. Yeah. Let me just Google. No, there's no death cap mushroom flavor.
No, there's not in the... I mean, if she had just brought out a recipe book,
yeah,
and there was like death cap mushroom, she was like,
yeah, man,
alibi.
I'm just imagining like her side of the beef Wellington has like a smiley emoji imprinted onto it, and the other side has like, why has it got a skull and crossbones on it? Because this is the killer flavour. This is where it's the flavour.
Hazardous material sign in it.
Skull and crossbones on one side.
Little flag.
Yeah.
Jolly Roger flag in it.
She giggles at everyone as well. How's the Wellington? Is it good? Yeah, deadly. Deadly flavours, right? Ha ha. Can you imagine? Oh man. Well, you got story wise, man.
All right. What have I got for you? All right. VR goggles for mice create immersive scenarios for brain research.
Tell me more. Tell me more. VR goggles for mice.
Bro, whether exploring distant galaxies or dashing around a fantasy world, virtual reality is immerse humans in extraordinary places. Now it seems mice will be able to join us. Researchers have developed a pair of virtual reality goggles that can plunge the rodents into various scenarios, from navigating mazes to experiencing the threat of a predator. And we have a little image here, and in the reflection you can see like a fucking owl, like, do you know what I mean? Coming, oh, that scaring
that is
up the mice
cold.
Here.
Please, we need to put the image on screen. We need to get the image on screen. Let's try and get this on screen. Oh my gosh, we need to get this up.
While VR has been used in mouse experiment, I didn't know this. While VR has been used in mouse experiments for years, the researchers say this has typically involved placing the animals on a treadmill in front of a large screen, displaying a digital scene with their heads fixed in place to allow the study of their brains.
Of course.
Professor Daniel Dombeck, a co-author of the study at Northwestern University in Illinois, said that this had drawbacks as the mice could see the static laboratory surroundings and equipment as they move through the virtual world by walking on a treadmill.
So it wasn't real enough because the mice could look around and be like, yeah, there's a cat in front of me, but really, I'm in a room, bruv. Give me a bit more credit. Yeah, I know I'm a mouse. Yeah. You're taking a mick really by making me run for no reason.
I can see
that there's not a cat here, innit?
We think this reduces their immersion in the virtual world. He said, also, there is no depth information provided by big screens. The mice just see the same flat scene as we do when we watch TV. By contrast, the new setup involved, revealed in the journal Neuron, involves a pair of lenses and screens mounted on stands either side of the mouse's head, providing each eye with a 180-degree field of view. Again, the mouse's head is fixed in place and it can navigate the virtual environment using the treadmill. Our prototype Google system described in the paper is a bit too large to be carried around by mice, but we plan to make a smaller version in the future that the mice could carry around like a headset. I want to see that.
So you're saying now it's a bit too... It's like when we had the first Oculus, we needed to plug it into a computer and have like a lead connected, but they want to get to MetaQuest 3 level. They want a little headset they just pop on and go, off on your little way, mate.
I want to like see them put it on the mouse and then like just click the back. Like,
yeah, just... And you see it. Boom. Of it going on or... Whip. I don't know. That mouse version that would be.
This is brilliant.
That is absolutely wild.
The team says the new approach not only allows mice to see the virtual environment in 3D and eliminates visual clues of the lab, but offers a way to present virtual images from above. For example, a hovering hawk. So it was not an owl. It looks like an owl, bruv. You can tell me what you think it looks like.
I'm looking at the picture now. It looks like, to be honest, I mean, graphically, I think they could do a little bit better, but it just looks like an owl. But I think
And also,
why are they so big? Like, the goggles are so big on the mouse. Like, I feel like
I think it's because of the 180. We don't have a scale.
Yeah.
So
I'm just they look enormous. Look at the mouse. That's why they need smaller ones. It's gonna be knackered.
This stimulation in real environments causes mice to freeze or flee, reactions they have to survive a predatory bird attack in the wild.
Yeah. Flight or fight. That's it. Or fright. That's what they do, fright, yeah.
Right, that's mad. The team's experiments show mice react the same way in the VR goggle system. When the mice froze, activity from neurons in their brains involved in navigation suggested they were in a different location from when they actually are.
Okay.
So it is working.
So this raises so many questions for me, right? For starters, like, I think we know the answer to this question. How do they know that this has the same reaction as when they're scared in a natural environment? That means that there has been an owl in a large cage chasing a mouse who's been like having a sense of controlled environment.
Controlled environment,
And how are they rewarding these mice? Because, bro, after a long day of being scared, you got to give it some R&R, bruv. You got to give it an extra bit of cheese and stuff like that. These poor mice, man, every single day when a headset gets put on, imagine if you're the mouse that always gets the fucking chase as well, and the other mouse gets, like, I don't know, like...
Barbados, isn't it? Like? Just chilling with, like...
Yeah.
With, like,
a cheese martini.
And the, yeah, that one mouse is like, why do I get fucking owl again,
shaking at the end of the day. That is, I cannot believe we are putting little VR headsets on mice.
It's brilliant.
Disney, let's make a show out of this, please.
Yeah,
I
like
want to see
Ratatouille.
A Disney movie, a Ratatouille, but with VR. It needs to be done, bro. VR mice that are controlling human avatars. I'm on that, bro.
Ooh.
I'm on that, bro.
Just punching up owls.
Super villain. Wait, of yeah, just, mice.
You're wearing, one of the gloves in it, and the owl comes to land on it.
Smashing the face.
Don't condone the harming of any animals.
Yes. But these guys have got VR. So let me get this right. So this is just to analyze how they respond to scary things and how they respond to a nice holiday in Barbados, for example, and a relaxing time. I love the future of VR. I just could not have seen this story coming at all, where they're getting rodents. I'm thinking now, can we, for entertainment purposes, could we have VR goggles for our dog, put the dog on a treadmill, go for a walk, but you don't have to leave the house if it's, say, a really cold day and you don't want to go outside? Is this a possibility now? Could you have your dog playing fetch in VR? Could we go for it? Get me? Or is that unfair? Is that mean?
No, I mean,
dogs
like
outside.
I mean, like, there are, I've seen videos where you have dogs or are like on treadmills and they're literally just like running or walking for time. But
yeah,
it would be quite fun, innit? You could just see them like, no, in a sense of like, you throw the ball in VR, and they're like,
yeah. I've seen a video of someone's dog on one of those treadmills where I think as you use it, you create the momentum.
Yeah.
And when it found out it could go as fast as it wanted, I swear the look on its face was the biggest smile in the world. And it was just going for ages.
Galloping.
Yeah. And then obviously knackers itself and chills out a little bit. That is
good
wild.
Good for when the weather's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Especially if you want to avoid those leaf-filled potholes that are turning up.
Watch out for those, bro.
Yeah, man.
The only thing that needs to be to put in the VR is you don't want your dog to like, you know, take a dump on the treadmill, especially if it's going quickly.
Yeah, we've got to put a box on the back of the treadmill, it's like a reverse of a mud guard, isn't it? It's a mud catcher. Because if you don't, on that treadmill going fast, it's gonna
be a lot of mess. Dogs obviously they stop before they usually do their business,
don't
they? Because it would be quite funny if they were going full pace while dropping along.
Yeah. Horses do that. Yeah, they do. And also, like, the dog can't do the thing where they look you in the eye as they curl one off. Do you know what I mean? Because they're wearing a headset. You know that thing that they do, they turn around and go, I don't know what does that mean when they do that?
I'm not sure because like there's part of me which thinks that they look around and like, is this fucker staring at me, man? Well, like, give me a bit of privacy, please.
This fucking weirdo always gets a bag out of their pocket and they collect it. Fuck is wrong with them, dude? Like,
do you want to have a smell first? Come over and
not even had a sniff of it. Just picks it up and puts it in their pocket. What, for later? And puts it in a little box of loads of other ones as well.
Horrible.
Weirdos. Or another part of the dog could be like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, who's the master now?
Yeah. Pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick this up.
Yeah? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You fetch. Fetch this, bitch. And Sean, I think we're at an hour, bro. That's another episode of How to Kill an Hour. I know you've got some other great stories in there. I mean, look.
We'll save them for next week's.
I think they're New Year's ready, man. They're New Year's ready, bro. And New Year's is round the corner.
Oh, mate.
I shouldn't do that, really, should I?
How is 2024 almost here?
Oh, it's wild, man. It's wild.
Oh, mate.
It's that time of the year now where we look forward to the new year and think about what we're going to be doing differently. But yeah, man, how is it 2023? Do we feel like I'm still reeling from the years that we lost for COVID?
COVID, man, it's a hole in it. It's like a hole in your bedroom if you're looking up.
Yeah, where a piano could be falling through.
I'm telling you, man.
Or a hole in the floor.
It's a void.
It's a void,
bro.
It is a void.
You know, you have conversations with people and they go, oh, yeah, it was like 2.5 years ago, something like that. And they're like, and then you continue the conversation. They were like, yeah, before COVID. And I'm like,
that's four.
Two and a half years ago. You sure?
It's almost 4 years ago, bro. That is wild. Do you remember, before we go, the last normal thing you did before COVID?
Skiing.
And when did you go?
It was December. Mm-hmm. I think it was December 2020. And then while we were skiing, I remember us sitting there, I think we were in France somewhere, and we're like hearing about this in Asia.
Mm.
Right? We're hearing about this and then we're like...
Asia?
Asia.
Okay, cool.
And then we're hearing about it coming over to Europe, etc. And we're like, oh, this is a bit mad, isn't it? Kind of thing. And yeah, literally, if we had tried to go in January, when it happened because yeah, lockdown came into effect and yeah, all kicked off.
I think I might be wrong. I think I did a February trip to Europe and I remember being angry in the airport because someone was coughing without covering their mouth.
Mm.
But it wasn't like mask time yet. But I remember being like, isn't there something going around? So like, what are you doing? And that was the last flight I took for probably a year and a half. Because I did some like trips and stuff, like tech event trips that were like travel during COVID, which was, that was just a
I can only imagine that must have been mad.
Bro, the paperwork just to go to France was wild, bro. Like I had to have a test that was completed within 72 hours of me getting somewhere, which was 72 hours away. So
my math is not good, but
yes, I landed like an hour afterwards and the guy was like, oh, yeah, go on then. Like,
what as in like, yo, that was 73 hours?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah.
Test again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd have to go back. Luckily, I think at the time they had created tests that were there local, but I would have missed the opportunity to do what I was doing or most of it. Yeah, so it was long. And like all the paperwork you had to do to just get onto the train and get, because we did Eurostar, the train and back was wild. But yeah, man, I think the last thing I did normal was trip I did was skiing. And I remember I went to a press event. This was like March the 10th, a press event for a website. And the number of guests and venue had to change significantly from like, whatever the capacity was to like 30% of what the capacity was because people weren't coming. And like people still came out and everyone was a little bit wary, but it was like, here I feel like in the UK we were just not paying attention. It was like it was island over there mentality. And then when the 20th were hit or whatever, I got the email saying like, yo, everything's locked off, studio's not happening, whatever. I was like, oh right, I filled up the car and just like with everything, and luckily I had enough stuff and I was that was the proper lockdown, innit? Yeah. Where we all were just
actually,
like,
February.
Yeah.
I remember I met up with some friends. We went to Blue's Kitchen in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
That was like, I remember that was like the last, actually that was the last normal thing. That was like the last night I'd gone out. And because I remember us discussing afterwards being like, yo, if we tried to do this like 2 weeks, it was for someone's birthday.
Yeah.
Like we tried to do this 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Wouldn't no chance. Happened.
Yeah.
And it was still, and also you're still, even in February, I was still in the mentality of like being surrounded by lots of people and being okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that all changed like quite quickly.
Maybe we can talk about this again on another episode. It'd be nice for the end of the year to carry on about this. But I wanted to ask you before we go, do you remember your first like normal experience after that?
Afterwards?
Yeah, yeah. Your first thing that you tried to do that was normal, even though we were a bit wary. Like I could give you my one. I remember I went for my first pint at a pub. I was so shook. I remember just like, slavering the table with gel. I had, remember that time we had to fill in a document every time you went to a venue for track and trace? So I had to fill in a track and trace venue, track and trace form. I remember getting a pint of Guinness and I remember rubbing alcohol around the top of the glass because that's where your lips touch it. And I was like, this is so risky. Yeah.
I can't remember where I went, but I remember the feeling that I had.
Yeah.
And I was very anxious.
Yeah, man.
Like, I was like, oh, I don't know if I should have.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then after a while, and maybe a beverage.
Yeah, yeah, you relax.
Just, yeah, yeah, kind of. But I felt very anxious afterwards.
We went away just before an icebreaker or whatever it is, a circuit break, or maybe it was just before whatever. I remember we were in a club together and I was just like, we're in a club that was a bit sweaty and moist and you saw me like standing up against the wall.
Bro,
like,
this was in Newcastle or somewhere.
Yeah.
It was up north somewhere.
Cardiff. Like.
Cardiff,
yeah,
kind of north.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, I do remember that, and I remember checking in with you, being like, "Bro, you cool?" And you're like, "Bro, I don't feel comfortable." Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember
wild.
That. Yeah.
After a
couple, I don't even know when that. I can't even remember when that was. But...
Seven years ago. Anyway, sorry, bro. We're just chatting away, man. But, bro, it's been great having another episode
Always
of How to Kill an Hour with you. Make sure you search for us on all socials at How to Kill an Hour. Facebook group is popping. It's growing. Thank you for all your contributions for jokes as well. I think, you know what? We should throw it open for some end of year Christmas jokes you can fire our way, or New Year's jokes. At How to Kill an Hour on all socials, like I said. At Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. Bronzy on all socials. And where can we find you, Sean?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything, bro.
Sean.
At Sean.
Wicked. All right, man. Big up, guys. Peace.
Noisa.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.